Welcome to Leadership Amplified. I'm Karen Morley, your host, and my guest today is Ilke Furstenberger, who's the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of Mercedes-Benz Financial Services Australia. Ilke completed her tertiary education in Germany at the Mannheim University in the field of languages and business. She started her career as a trainee at the former Daimler Chrysler Services AG in 1998, working on international projects. Over her 25-year career with the Mercedes-Benz Group, she's held numerous roles in senior leadership and executive levels, including as member of the board at Mercedes-Benz Bank. She is passionate about supporting aspiring women in the world of business. Throughout her career, Ilke has lived in several countries and is fluent in five European languages. In her free time, she enjoys discovering the Australian great outdoors through diving and hiking. Ilke, thank you and welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to be having this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Wonderful. Now, I'm really excited to be able to ask you about your leadership career or the journey that you've had over the course of your career. That's where we usually start the conversations on the podcast. Tell us kind of how you got started and how you developed your career as a leader.
Oh yeah, a longer time ago. Not starting as a leader, of course. Starting as a young lady who wanted to discover the world. So for me, it was very clear that I don't want to stay in one location. I want to be working on an international basis, which really, and I'm saying that because it sometimes it formed me as well in my leadership style. So what I did is, of course, I always interested in cultures and languages combined with economics. So that was my basic for where we are, where I am today. And started as any other student, started working already in parallel to my university, in a production plant actually. So really working in shifts day and night, and met people of different colors and direction, if the colors in a sense of CV of experiences, and made me someone who observed as well what happens around me. Then went to that beautiful company I'm working for today. So it's for Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, for the big group, which always gave me the opportunity to work internationally and to have to be able to develop myself, to grow, never got bored. I think this is really important and gave me all opportunities I needed to develop my personality and my business. So, as I said at the beginning, I was always working internationally in different countries and different jobs, changing every other not year, but very often. In different positions. I don't know, be it sales, business development, e-business, we would call it digitization today. And this brought me in different responsibilities and as well, then one day my first leadership role.
So let's just go back to that production plant and working on the production line. I'm really interested in how did that, or to what extent that experience shaped what you then studied at university, or was it unrelated?
Well, it was in parallel, but what
Parallel,
I said,
okay.
it was in parallel, because I had to earn as well some money to finance my studies, but nevertheless, it shaped somehow as well, or confirmed what I was doing. And what I mean is when I met so many interesting people in a production plant with so many interesting stories to tell. And it makes you really listening and it makes you learning. And I was a young lady and I thought I understood the world already and everything works. Which I did not at that, but maybe limited. Let's put it that way. But I met so many interesting people that would shape me. And on the other side, I knew why I decided myself for a university, studying at university, because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in working in shifts, to be very clear. I wanted to be challenged. I wanted to know more, learn, and I wanted to see the world, as I said.
And so economics and languages, what does that contribute to your whole, I guess, philosophy approach to leading?
Diversity. Diversity. Right. There's not one truth out there. There are different ways of seeing the world, of tackling it, finding solutions. It's a colorful way of life. I think that's what I wanted to combine. I'm very curious. My family, I'm coming out of a traveler's family, so we always went out, saw different countries, tried to explore and to learn. And my parents, when we went to a country, they always started learning a minimum 100 words in that language they weren't able to talk or to speak.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So, and I think this is some, it became genetic for me. It's part of my DNA. I saw that. That's how I grew up. And I think that made me curious. And you know, seeing different cultures, different ways of living, I think maybe that was somehow inspired me. Let's put it that way. So there are, it's there. A positive influence on the rest of my life.
And I think that the connection between the language and the diversity, and what you've talked about a couple of times already, you've mentioned this focus on learning, and sort of learning languages, immersing yourself in different cultures, are amazing ways to keep focused on learning. You can't not learn.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. You need an open mind. And you need to be conscious of that. Again, there are different ways of seeing the world, finding solutions for a problem, or independent of whatever it is, but there are different ways of tackling things in this life. I think this is, and let's call it, that's diversity. And for me, it's an enrichment. That's what I always wanted.
Yeah. Lovely. Okay, so to pick back up on the storyline there, you said you moved into your organization that you've stayed with for this time, but you had your first leadership role. So how did that strike you? What was that like to move into a leadership role?
Yeah, I'm just smiling. I always wanted to lead. And now don't ask me even why did you want. Well, I honestly, maybe why, because I like people. I love people. So, and I think this is for me a very important basic for, you know, why do you want to lead? Because you like people. And I was fighting for becoming a leader, kind of.
Yeah.
And, but I always said my boss at that point in time, hey, can I go to a seminar or something? Can I get learn some tools, instruments, how to lead? Meaning maybe there's some technique. So I got a little bit panicked. Maybe leading, maybe it's not that easy. Of course, I prepared myself. I did a coaching seminar, not coach in being a coach, but leading by coaching people. And we were even working with horses. Do follow horses or not?
Yeah. Okay.
Turning your body. Yeah. Kind of that kind of impressed me. And I'm still, I will not forget these exercises, really made my life. On that, and I really appreciate it. But I wanted to prepare myself because I was keen on leading. And then I led. And then it started.
Okay. So, I mean, that is something. There are some people in Australia too who do leadership workshops using horses, and how you interact with them. And it's really about opening up a very different kind of communication style and channel. And
correct.
I guess a really different way of listening. What did you take from that workshop? Apart that, from a memory that you've not lost.
I think it's, well, I think what we all know, but I think it's important not to forget the verbal and the non-verbal communication, body language. How, you know, this was so important that you make a horse which is unleashed is following you or changing direction because you're turning your body. At the end of the day, and when we are talking then, you know, about your leadership style, what is your expectation towards yourself? How do you want to lead? What leader do you want to be or want to become?
Yeah.
I think you need to be aware of what the manifold layers of leadership are. And again, it's nonverbal, it's verbal. It's open up from your body language, open up from your language. Do you have a smile in what you're saying? So these kind of things. It always sounds, when I'm not a psychologist, you are, yeah. But I think these are things we tend to forget in the daily business.
Yeah.
Yeah. When stress increases, pressure increases, then we tend to forget some basic things. And in addition to that, maybe Karen is, I think, you know, being for me, someone, I'm a, most of the time I've always been a foreigner in a country leading or being in a country which is not my culture. So I need it as well to learn to lead, maybe not if via a perfect language skill. Yeah. But maybe as well via underlying patterns.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So that was your preparation into your first leadership role, and good on you and your organization for actually allowing you that kind of preparation, because not everybody gets that opportunity to be thinking about themselves and about, you know, what leadership is before they start. So the first leadership role, did it fulfill expectations? What was it really like?
Well, it was hard.
Okay.
When you have challenging people sitting in front of you, big eyes, asking you for, okay, give us direction. Give us, I think, what do we do now? And you were really, okay, so you are reflecting a lot still. What is now the best to do? And it always brings me then back to that, do I have to show strength now and competence? Or do I show, hey, I'm approachable, I have as well my weaknesses, you know, that, I think that's that trade-off. And you are, well, I at least, you know, I was really fighting every day and reflecting a lot. Did I do it right? So it was, I think everybody who begins leading would now agree with me, I hope. But it was a little bit what I had, no? I was just reflecting a lot.
Yes. I think a lot of people talk about their first experience of leadership as being the kind of the big experience from which they learn the most. But I think that you can have empathy for a different situation or different position, but when you actually find yourself in it, it's very different. And so most first time leaders, are hit with, I didn't expect that. I didn't understand that. I'm not prepared for that. I'm not sure what to do about that. Whether or not they reflect so much on it as you're talking about is probably a question. What did that reflection kind of change or help you do?
Well, I think reflecting only for yourself, there's a limit. I think you need to look as well then from time to time as well for some support or somebody you can exchange with. But I think reflection, you should always reflect, but I always say it's a journey. So it will never end. You just get a bit more relaxed, if you want to call it like that. You get a bit, you get more experience. And I think it was a very busy time for me. It was a stressful time. Do I act now right? Do I treat that person, that colleague, that team member right? You're getting your first, when you have had all these assessment centers, where you had these employee talks and they were just stubborn and they didn't want to do what they had to do. And you were, you had to go through that game of how do I solve the conflict? Now it became real. Oh my God, reality bites. There it was. So I found my solutions and the way out, but I was stressed. Until it went over a little bit more into the, as well as the DNA, because I think what I always wanted to, I always wanted to lead. It was for me a positive way of going to the office every day. So I wanted to achieve something. I wanted to make decisions, to move, to shape, to form, to, that's what I wanted. Yeah. That's what we all want. Yeah. But some want it maybe a bit differently than others. Yeah. Making decisions is something we do every day. It doesn't mean that you're a leader. But if you want to move things, influence, have an impact, then it becomes a different story. And then you have to
It does.
orchestrate what you are leading, what you are doing. You have to orchestrate the team.
And obviously, since that initial leadership role, you've had many others. What is it that has helped you most to reduce the stress and the pressure of leading?
I think, first of all, the time experience. I think, and when we go back to that, you know, being that maybe that loving or leading and being with your personality. And the other thing is being competent, you know, in a business. And I think that the safer you are on one side, the more confidence it gives you on the other side. So with the business experience as well, I think I became much calmer or more experienced. But of course, I had my peers, I had people, colleagues, friends I could talk to. And I had my coaches in between. Absolutely. I think this is very important. Just do it until you retire. From time to time, you need someone who helps you reflecting or asks the right question. A safety zone. I think this is really important. But honestly, I think you find out at one point in time how to start best a new job. And this is for me something after a couple of years, I started a new job, a new leadership situation, teams got bigger. And then you have to think of how do you want to start? And I decided myself one day, I start with establishing trust. I'm not starting with establishing here I am. I'm the strength. I'm the competent. And assuming that someone is competent and is strong to do that job, I decided to start with establishing trust. And making sure, hey, I'm as approachable. I'm listening. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in that, Karen. Certainly not. But I decided to start like that and to become that kind of leader as well. And the competence and the business and everything, second step. While starting a new job. And when you then you establish trust, non-verbal and verbally, why are your actions, why are your decisions, explaining why you made the decision. So the what and the how, competence comes automatically. So people see that you know what you're talking about. So, and that made me much more comfortable, but made me a bit more relaxed.
So when people saw you start a new leadership role, you know, let's say a month or 2 months into that role, that time period, what do you think they'd be saying about how you lead?
Well, I'm approachable. I think this is really important. I think there is trust. So it's a psychology-wise safe place.
Safety.
I think this is really important. I'm a listener. Even though from time to time, I decide if you go in circles, if you go in vicious circles, I stop that circle or that roller coaster and I make a decision. And I make clear why I make the decision. Now, and I explain why I make the decision. I think as a leader, you're expected to make decisions. That's basic, but you have to explain why. Why do we go left now and not right? You have to explain it.
Although people aren't always comfortable, I think it's absolutely true. People expect you to make the decisions. You know, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Correct.
Is people put that. But they don't always like it when you make the decisions, do they? So there are a lot of paradoxes or dilemmas associated with the leadership role. One of the things that you've talked about, you've hinted at it so far, but we've talked in a previous conversation, is that this connection between personal warmth and the drive for performance. And that seems to be, you know, what in an old-fashioned sense we might have been called being firm but fair. It's that balance of, if you like, sort of dominance and nurturing styles of leading. And you know, it comes across to me that that's quite important to you to get that balance right. So can you, I mean, talk a bit more about that philosophy and how you go about, striking the right balance.
Well, honestly, I don't know if I always have the right balance. You should ask my team now. Yeah, I think there are days and days. And some days I'm going more on the one side, and there are days I go more on the other side. I think this is human being as well, and I think this is really important to
Correct.
start with the first thing. I think again, as I said, I try to establish trust. It's for me basic. I think this should be in place and should not be doubted, because if this is doubted, then you will not become a even not a balanced leader. So I think that must be very clear. And then it's then driven by the culture of mistakes. Yeah, I think this is something, it's always the proof in the pudding. Yeah, if somebody makes a mistake and he's not shot for that one. So I think it's supporting the team. It's I would say generating a decision out of the diversity, out of the diverse way of seeing things, and giving the people the chance. And we call it empowerment, is one of our core values, besides others. But I think this is for me a very important value, empowering the people, because they have the knowledge. I'm not the one who knows everything, definitely not. Yeah. So, but I need to, how do you say that, to encourage but enable as well the team to make the right decisions, and challenge, of course. Yeah, it's always a question, what do you understand what is enabling? Enabling is as well challenging. Yeah. And yeah, so this is for me the basics. Yeah, and that balance. And then normally, now it's theoretically, I said it's not always everyday balance. You know, when you tap on this diversity, on this enrichment, and on the knowledge, on the creativity of the teams, you drive performance. Yeah, you need to unleash it, and then you drive it. And then there are times when it's getting tougher, and we all know that you have to drive performance differently. So it's not always kind of, okay, what do you want to do today? No, of course not. Yeah. So you have to set clear goals. You have to measure on the goals. I think besides that, that's what I do as well. Yeah. But how do you make people reaching their goals? I think this is for me the big difference. You can now spread fears. You can spread pressure. You can threat. That's what you can do. I don't believe in it.
So what does driving look like for you? And it always strikes me as it's an interesting metaphor to be using in, Mercedes-Benz context, but how do you drive? Because some people might think that if you're driving, that's a real pushing. It's a very strong action where you are the lever for that action. And yet I'm hearing that drive for you might be somewhat different from that.
Honestly, you need a clear purpose, and this purpose is nothing on a PowerPoint slide. I think you need to set a clear purpose. That's why we're here. That's what you want to achieve. Besides, not every corporate strategy purpose, you need to give locally a purpose. That's why I'm getting out of bed every morning. And you need to energize this, yeah, with your team. You need to inhale that, otherwise they will not inhale it either. You need to set this clear. That's why we're here. That's why we are coming to the office every day. So a clear target setting, yeah, but not a clear target setting only. You need to achieve XY percentage. It's why are we here? And this energy and this impact, you need to you. It's like a, it needs to be written into your face. Yeah. So if you don't live it, and if you don't believe in it, don't underestimate. No, of course you do not, but don't underestimate you out there. And I'm not, we all know it, that people see it, they feel it. If you're not convinced of what you're saying, what you're
Same,
doing, forget it. So I think you need to drive this energy, and you need to constantly spread the words, the purpose. This is what we need to do in good times and in bad times. And in bad times, we might do it a bit differently than in good times. Of course.
And so, as you're here today, Managing Director, Director for Australia in the business, how would you summarize kind of the most important leadership lessons that you've learned across your career to date?
Making use of the different ways of doing the business. And I'm not talking culturally. Yeah. So every company has its culture, but as well, I think every market has its culture, every country. I think I had bosses of different nationalities, of different cultures, and I was working, as I said, in different countries. And I think I always learn something. There's always a different way of doing the business. And this is not better or worse. It's different. And I think this is, and you have to adapt your leadership style as well. Yeah. Because if you want to avoid innovation, you would be, well, you could be very, you know, kind of authority guy, strong fear leader or leading by fears. Then I think you would damage a lot here in Australia. And I'm not saying that any culture would work with that, but just to exaggerate a little bit now, you know, if you don't unleash the creativity while providing the space for doing it or providing the opportunity for speaking up, yeah, or coming up with a better proposal, then I think you would not make a coin here, honestly, in such a diverse country.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. And the final question that I'm going to ask today, Ilka, is around mentoring. I know that it's something you're particularly passionate about. So what is it that motivates you to be mentoring people around you?
Well, maybe it's that, because I, for me, it was an advantage to have someone when I started to help me a lot, who understood my conflict, my stress. Yeah. And who just helped me. And I think I have a lot of young ladies knocking at my door. Yeah. So I think there's as well a gender topic. Yeah. So where maybe they're asking me, hey, how did you do as a woman? How did you cope with it in that situation? What did you do? What do you think I should do? Or how can I prepare better or something? And if I can share the experience, and maybe avoid for one or the other a bit more stress or pain, I would be happy to do so. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that my style is the right one. Definitely not. There might be other ways of thinking. Yeah. But if I can share and I can help, then I love to do that. Yeah.
Wonderful. So as we come to the close of the conversation, is there anything that perhaps you haven't had a chance to speak about that you would like to share?
Leading is a journey. You will never be a leader who's ready, who has accomplished, who has finished his, I don't know, CV on leading. I think this is something which took me a while. It's a journey. Yeah. And maybe one day you retire, then you finish leading, but only in business, only in business. So accept this ongoing challenge and can be a bumpy road sometimes, but it's so rewardful when people tell you that, hey, thanks for leading me in that way, or thanks for listening. I think for me, it's rewarding. I love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that's a really wonderful note to finish on. Some people might have been expecting, at some point you get there, you get to the top of the mountain and that's it. But hey, that's when you stop breathing, isn't it?
Correct.
So I think that idea of it being a journey that continues to unfold and you have the opportunity to unfold into it as you go, and, you know, to provide support up that mountain to others. Sounds like a fantastic philosophy of leadership.
Thanks, Karen.
So thank you very much for joining the conversation. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Ilka.
Thanks for having me, Karen. Thank you.